Okay, today's daf is Sukkah Yerushalmi, daf Yud Aleph. And we are on the last couple of lines of the first parak here, Masecha Sukkah. Sukkah Shehi Gavoha. So we spoke yesterday about the Mishnah. Mishnah had two different parts to this last Mishnah here in the first parak. Number one, that this Sukkah has to have a roof. That was Machlokas Tanoim. Whether a Sukkah needs a roof or not, Rebbe Elazar says it needs a roof. Because that's the structure that the Torah requires. Right, when it says basukas teshu shivas yamin, that's how Chazal understood the structure of a sukkah. And the Chachamim say, no, it's kosher even without a roof. That was part one. And then part two, we got into different types of mats, machzalos. And it fits into the rule that we said earlier, that schach cannot be done, something that is mekabel tuma. And therefore, if I have a mat that was made for lying on, right, it was made to have a picnic on, so that's going to be mekabel tuma. And therefore, you can't use that for schach. It's the same exact item. But if I have in mind that that's supposed to be for schach, then it's not going to be mekabel tuma, because something on the roof is not mekabel, made to be a roof is not mekabel tuma. We quoted machlokas in the Mishnah. We weren't sure exactly what the machlokas was about, but the Bavli and the Mefarshim here explained it's based on if somebody has large baths that they don't specify, stoma, what is that automatically? So that's what we said, that is the case. And then the Gemara says, regarding the first part of the Mishnah that we read, that if you have a tefach up, so that would be good enough. You have a tefach of vertical space, before you have the roof, that goes diagonally, that would be enough to be considered an ohel. We mentioned quickly at the end of the shiur, the machlokas Rashi Tosfos on daf yotesima beis, whether you need just space or you need actually something there, stone or some type of a structure, physical, that is there. Okay. Abba bar bar chana b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. That's what we're up to. B'machzalos u'shashanu. Our whole machlokas, our issue, is when the machzalos that were made in Usha, those that were made about the machzalos Usha, only those, Rabbi Lezer thinks, that stam l'shchiva, and therefore they would be makabel tuma, right? Because they're very soft. The machzalos from Usha are very soft. But the other big mats, Rabbi Lezer would automatically assume that they're made for schach. Right, and therefore, you don't want these hard mats. Amar Rebbe Lazar, stam machzelas usha tameos. Rebbe Eliezer says, stam machzelas of usha are tamei, are mekabel tuma, because they're made to be soft. They are soft, and therefore they're made to lie down on. Achi yaseim olim, unless you specifically had in mind for them to be schach, for them to be an ol. Stam machzelas tveria tahoros. The stam machzelas of tveria are tar, because those are harder, and therefore they're usually made to be a roof, not to lie down on. Therefore, they're automatically assumed they can be tar, unless they're made for lying down on. So according to this, the machlokas is by machzalos of other places, right? The machzalos not of Usha and not of Tveria, period. Usha and Tveria, we know, played a role later on in history after Bayesheni. Tell a Rambam Sanhedrin. That's Shoftim. The Gemara in the Bavli at the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes the 10 places where the Sanhedrin went after it left Yerushalayim. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Tein li Yavne v'chachameha, and he is allowed, as Aspasian allows him to get the Sanhedrin out before the Churban. And the Gemara says there, 10 places, Ukenegdan Golsa Sanhedrin mi Gemara, right? That's the Mesora. Milishkas Hagazis, it went from the Lishkas Hagazis in the base of Migdash, Le Chanus, to Chanus. That's the first place that there's Sukkim quoted. Ume Chanus, right? The Chanus was another area in the base of Migdash. Ume Chanus Li Yerushalayim, Ume Yerushalayim Li Yavne, Ume Yavne Li Usha. Ume Usha back to Yavne, and then Yavne back to Usha. These are all places that said Hedrick had to keep going. Ume Usha l'Shafram, Ume Shafram l'Beis Sha'arim, Ume Sha'arim l'Tzipori, v'Tzipori l'Tveria. So both Usha and Tveria make it onto the list. Those are two of the places up north where the Sanhedrin was. That was the center of Torah after the Churban. V'Tveria mukamikula, and Tveria was the last spot that is mentioned here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is Rosh Hashanah, Bavli, umisham asidan ligael. And from there, asidan ligael, that's where it's going to start. Shnemar hisnaari may offer kumi shvi. Right, that's the Gemara. And the Rambam quotes this. The Rambam in Sanhedrin, Yud Dalid Yud Beis quotes this, quotes this Gemara, Yudalid, Yud Beis. Says the Rambam, "B'tchila k'shimne beis hamikdash shayibezan agadol yoshim b'lishkas hagazus shahaisa be'ezras Yisrael." But obviously, the lishkas hagazus, where Yisrael sat, had to be a place where non-malchut based David were allowed to sit, so it couldn't be have kedushas ha'azara. So even though it was on the north side, but it had to be a place where they sat. So be'ezras Yisrael, v'amakam sheyoshim bo chol haya sheyishir b'azara l'malchut based David. As we know, it didn't have kedushas azara because you were allowed to sit. Ukeshenis kalkala hashura. When things got more difficult and messed up and the Chorban, Galu mimakom lamakom, ula asar makom was galu. They went to 10 places, Visofan Litveria, umisham lo amad bezan agadol ad ata. And from there, there hasn't been another bezan agadol. The Rambam might be alluding to. Even though I wrote earlier in Hilchas Sanhedrin that theoretically we could rebuild the Sanhedrin with smicha, if all the rabbis or most of the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael got together and appointed someone to be rabbi. But the Rambam says at his stage, right, it's never been done, even though maybe he's saying that lamaisa, it's not going to be done. Remember the last three words of that Rambam, v'hadavar tzarech echra. Right? Does that mean that he's tzarech ian on the whole din that I just quoted? Or maybe it means v'hadavar tzarech echra, because it's never going to happen to get all the great rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, right? Even the one time, really, that it almost happened, right, that was in the days of Rabbi Yosef Cairo. All the rabbis of Tzfat gave Rabbi Yosef Cairo smicha, and they said, we're going to restart this Sanhedrin based on the Rambam, right? Because why did they want to do that? Remember the historical context, that they wanted to get a Sanhedrin in order for all the Muranos from Spain to get Malkus, because they thought that they were going to be Chayef Kares because of what they did. And if they get Malkus, that that's Pater Poter Osam Mide Kares. That's they wanted to start it. But the problem was that the Rabbani Yerushalayim were not interested in giving any smichas. So that's why, even though the Rabbani Tzfat did, but not the Rabbani Yerushalayim. On the Kever, in Tzfat, Rabbi Yosef Cairo's Kever, it says there, this whole story, and it says, even though that smicha didn't work, but Klal Yisrael gave him smicha, because he's the Shulchan Aruch, he's the Maran. So therefore, it worked out. So the Rambam continues here, V'kabbalah hi shebetferia asidin lachzar tchila. And in Tveria, that's where the Sanhedrin is going to start again, because that's where it's going to pick up from where it left off. Umisham ne'atakin la'mikdash. Right, which is a beautiful hashkafic idea. We're in a little hiatus now for 2,000 years, but it's looked at as a hiatus. There wasn't a ending. The Sanhedrin ended, right? Kind of like Nevuah. Remember the end of Malachi. What's the last Nevuah that Malachi says? He's the last Navi. Beginning of Bayisheni. I'm signing off now, and the next Navi is going to be Elio. We're still waiting. We're between Nevuahs. So the Rambam says, based on the Gemara here in Rosh Hashanah, that the Sanhedrin is going to pick up from where it left off, Tveria, and then go, and we show that talking to Mikdash. Right? That is also why the legend that the Rambam is buried in Tveria. How did the Rambam get to Tveria? The Rambam never lived in the land of Israel. So the legend is that he died in Egypt, where he was the doctor of the Sultan, and they didn't know where to bury him. So they put him on a donkey or on a camel or something, and the donkey started walking and walking and walking all the way from Egypt all the way up to Tveria, and there he stopped. So that's where they buried the Rambam. Why did the Rambam want Tveria? Why not Yerushalayim? Why not Hebron? Because the Rambam wanted to be connected to that Sanhedrin Agadol the next time that it starts and he's there. Right. So some of our great Gedolim, even though they Anava, they recognize that they wanted. They write in the Rav Moshe Feinstein Hakdama. I've quoted this, that when he got dentures at the end of his life, he made them leave a couple of teeth in. Right. So he wouldn't be a Balmum Lagabe Adayanim. Okay. Let's continue. These were the machsalos of Usha and the machatsalos of Tveria, who were right near, pretty close to each other. Rabbi Yisla bar Chakula Shimon Berebi Horun, they paskined beilein al Pesach hachanuyos. They paskined that these curtains, these machsalos that were hanging at the doors of a store. Imagine the door of a store has like this. This curtain that's hanging down that you could go through. Shetaros, those are not made to lie, and those are made to hang, and they're not ro'ui l'shchiva, and therefore, they can be used for schach. One day I want to take those off and use them for schach. Hori Rabbi Imi. Rabbi Imi says, aruga temeya. There are different ways of making the mats. So aruga, if they are woven together, that's makabal tumma, because those are nice and soft. Aruga temeya. Maula sakichba, can use them for schach. What does that mean? We just said aruga temeya. We just said they're makabel tumah. So, of course, you cannot use them for schach. What's the question? So, it might be, maybe, Rav Imi was talking about the smaller ones. The smaller ones are automatically soft, and therefore they're made to sit on. They're not makabel tuma. Maybe he's asking about the bigger ones. Ma'ala sachikba. What about the bigger ones? Or the Pnei Moshe explains the question. Ma'ala sachikba. E amrinan. You wove it, and therefore, mistama, you made it to be makabel tuma. What if you then decide you made it for, you wove it, and then you're like, I want to use this for schach. Could your machshava change that? Do you say that, once it's woven, then you have to do something, l'maisa, to make it into schach, or just your machshava? So that's the question that's how he says what the question is. So the Gemara answers, maybe that's the machlokas of the Mishnah. That's included in the machlokas about stama. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Elazar, Hori, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Elazar, paskind, midochak, shasatchak. He paskind when there was no choice. What do you mean there was no choice? There was no other schach in the area. I don't know, I guess there were no trees. Right, there were certain machsalos that were made for, let's say, lying down on. So how did you use, you can't use them for schach. So what he allowed, at the end of the reed mats, there was like a knot that was made. And once you took out that knot, the whole thing would fall apart. So he allowed undoing that knot, and that's good enough. That's good enough to remove its shame cleat. And therefore, he allowed that to be done. So, lahate rashi ma'adanim olasachik b'ham, to use that for schach. Look at the carbon eda. Vim nitar omed l'stira. Once it's loosened, it's now meant, it's going to be undone. V'nisbatel mitoras kli. And the status of kli is removed. V'enam akabal tuma. Right? It's not makabal tuma. Oim hi kfar tamei atorah. Even if it was tamei already, it would lose the status of kli and not be tamei anymore. So, Yisabar Elazar allowed you to do this in a shasat chak. The Gemara just sends off and says, why only b'shas atchak, tanin? And didn't we learn in the Mishnah in Kalim, v'chein amatir rashi ma'adonim tahora, v'atam arhachin? We learned in the Mishnah that you could undo this and remove the shame kli. So that's l'chachila, that's a din, that's a mitzias. Why do you say it's only, that he only allowed a b'shas atchak? So no answer given to that question. Period, hadron alach parak sukkah, and now we get into the second parak, which, as we said, moves somewhat into the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. The first parak was about the structure of sukkah, the chefza shel sukkah, Rama Mazmanim. And now we move into the mitzvah of yeshiva. We're not fully away from the structure of the sukkah, the chefza shel sukkah. It is interesting that if, like we said, if I was writing, we spoke about in the Hakdamah, the structure of Masechta Sukkah. Now, first you have Sukkah, and then you have Lulav, and why it's flipped in the Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Peh. But if I was writing, I probably would have, you know, focused on the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah first. Right? Maybe. I mean, tell you the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah, and then tell me but first, no. The first is, tell me what a Sukkah is. Let's spend some time on that. And after that, then we'll get into the mitzvah of Yeshiva. That's what the Rambam does too. The Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of the Chefza Shel Sukkah, the Tefanos, And that's Perek Dalid. Why Perek Dalid? Because the Rambam puts Lulav and Shofar and Lulav and Sukkah all in the same halachas. So if you look in the Perek Dalid and Perek He, it's all about the structure of the Sukkah. Finally, in Perek Gimel, we have the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, which is interesting. We'll have to get to this. What's the first halacha the Rambam says about the sitting in the Sukkah? Nashim avadim uktanim peturim in the Sukkah. That's how he starts off. That's how you start off. Tell me who's not chayiv. How about tell me who's chayev? We have to sit in the sukkah. And then, the first thing he says reminds us of Hilchas Talmud Torah. Hilchas Talmud, the Rambam does the same thing in Hilchas Talmud Torah. The first halacha, Beragal Balacha Aleph, who is not chayev in Talmud Torah? Tell me who's chayev in Talmud Torah. You want to say that there's all this lumdus. Talmud Torah is so defining, it's a given, and that's why the Rambam starts off with who's not, because obviously you know everybody is. So what about sukkah is also a given? Sukkah is also, you have to say something. You have to say something, but that's the Rambam. Okay, so now we get into a little bit of the mitzvah of yeshiva. Hayashin, Perek Hayashin. Hayashin takas amita lo tzayot echavaso. So again, it's unusual, right? You would have thought that we'll start off, there's a mishnah later in the Perek. There's a mitzvah later in the Perek, which you might have thought should be the beginning of yeshiva. Why does the Rambam start off with this? Because we're not finished with the structure of the sukkah. We're still talking about it. So the Rambam, even though we have the word hayashin, which is if you sleep in, that's getting into the gavra, eating, drinking, sleeping. Right? We speak about sleeping here, some of the Mefarshim say, because sleeping is the most chamur, even though that's not the minhag olam in Chutz La'aretz, but the most chamur din is sleeping in the sukkah. We're not allowed to even sleep in the sukkah arai. I could eat arai outside the sukkah. I could snack outside the sukkah. I can't take a quick cat nap outside the sukkah. Somebody asked for Shlomo Zalman. He was working, I guess, from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv on Chol HaMoed. And he said, Rebbe, I always fall asleep on the bus, right? So is that a problem on Chol HaMoed? He says, yes, it's a problem, right? He says, you can't sleep outside the sukkah, right? So the Ramah talks about in Hilchas Sukkah, why it is that many, more in Chuslars don't sleep in the sukkah. Okay. But that's why we don't have the fundamental Mishnah about, making your sukkah, how many meals you have to see that they eat in the sukkah, but those are all later in the parak. Okay, but this is still talking about the structure a little bit. So if you sleep under a bed in the sukkah, you aren't yotze your chiyuv. You can't sleep under that. Why? Because you're not sleeping in the sukkah. You have a hefsek, between you and the sukkah. See the Karban Eidah, quoting from the Rishonim. Again, almost everything that the Karban Eidah and the Pnei Moshe say here is based on Rishonim. The ohel mafsik bein ola sukkah, because the ohel, and you have a different roof that's mafsik between you and the sukkah, ve'ikri yishivas ha-sukkah, achila, v'shtia, v'shena. So if I'm sleeping under the bed in the sukkah, I'm not yotze. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, and the Gemara is going to talk about it, it's unclear, is Rabbi Yehuda coming to argue on the Tanakhama, or is he coming to agree with the Tanakhama? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, no'agin ayinu yishirim dachas amitos, b'frei hazakenim. We used to sleep under the sukkah, under the bed, by the Zakenim, as we'll see in the Gemara, why is this? We slept under beds and they didn't say anything. So is that saying that sounds like Pashas, he's arguing on the Tanakhama? We'll see. Rabbi Shimon says there's a story of Tevi, the famous Eved of Rabbi Gamliel. All the Mishnayos and Brachas about Tevi, the Eved Kna'ani of Rabbi Gamliel. Remember, an Eved Ivri is chayiv in all mitzvahs. An Eved Ivri is a Jew who either was poor or stole, and he has to, be in a situation to be an Eved. And Eved Ivri is chayav in all mitzvahs. He's allowed to marry Shifcha Kenanis. That's an unusual halacha. But generally, chayav in mitzvahs. And Eved Kenani is chayav in mitzvahs like a woman. He's pater from Zman Grama. So, meaning one of those Zman Gramas is Sukkah. Sukkah is one of the mitzvahs of Seisha Zman Grama. There aren't so many mitzvahs of Seisha Zman Grama, right? We think that there are like 50, right? There's like 8, right? There aren't so many mitzvahs. There's like 4 or 5 in Chazal. And then there's a number of other ones that are discussed by the Rishonim. Women are pater from a couple of other mitzvahs too, that are not Zman Grama, from Talmud Torah, from others. But the only ones, there's tefillin and tzitzis and sukkah and lulav and shofar, that's 5, and kriyashma, that's 6. Right? Then there's a couple of others but again, those are not too many. So Shiva says, there was a story about Tevi, Shayashi Dachazabita, and he was under the bed. Rabbi Gamliel is a Kenim. Re'isam Tevi Avdi. Rabbi Gamliel said to the Zakenim, Asichas Chulin. Right? He just like remarked. Rabbi Gamliel said to the Zakenim, you see my servant, Re'isam Tevi Avdi, Shayatam al Chacham, Yodesh, Avadab Turman Asukah. He knows that an Evid is Pater, V'yashin Lo Tachzamita. That's why he's under the bed. What? Therefore, he wasn't allowed to? He was Dafka under the bed? Like, why? So he's Pater. So why does he have to be under the bed? We'll see. Ulafita Kena Lamanu, but based on that, we learned, Shayashin Tachzamita, Liyashi Chavaso. Rabbi Gamliel was saying, he's under the bed, and therefore, because he's Pater from Sukkah. So you see from that conversation, that if you're under the bed, you're not Yotze, right? You're not sitting in the sukkah, period. Hayash dachazamita v'chulu. So the question is that we're going to ask, Taman Taninan, we learned earlier, right? We're going to see, maybe the answer is going to be so obvious, we're going to think what the question is, but we learned earlier, Taman Taninan, avapori su'ak abe naklite amita, right? We learned earlier, a couple of days ago, if you remember, if you have a canopy in the sukkah, that ruins it. If you have like 4 poles and put a roof over it. But if you have 2 poles, one at the head of your bed, one at the foot of your bed, and you put a curtain, sheet on it, so it hangs down, but there isn't a tefach space up top, but it hangs down, so you're allowed to be under there. You're allowed to be under there. So the Gemara just asks, why is that okay in this case not okay? Here you're allowed to be under that sheet that's hanging down from the 2 poles. And here it says that you're not allowed to be under the bed, right? And we're thinking maybe under any bed, even if a bed is not so wide, and even parts of maybe it's if it's not 10 tefachim high, and doesn't have fulfilled the rules of ohel. So Gemara says no. There's a difference between that case. That case is very arai, not significant. Amar Blazer, Taman over there by the Naklite Amita case. hu vitaliso takla sukkah. He and his talis are under the sukkah. Basically, we don't consider the nakliti amita, that sheet hanging down, as such a significant. It's like when, let's say, you lift up a blanket when you're putting a blanket on, or so that's not called its own separate ohel, and therefore you, the nakliti amita, the sheet, and you are in the sukkah. Baram hachu hu vitaliso takla amita. But here, if you're under a bed, that's a significant structure. And therefore, even if, the Mefarshim explain here, even if it's less than 10 tefachim high, you're still under a structure in the sukkah, and therefore, it wouldn't be allowed. We'll have to talk about, Hashem, a little bit later, does it matter? Let's say you're under a table in the sukkah. Does it matter if the structure is made to protect what's under it, or to use what's above it, the space? Like a table is made to use on top of it. So maybe that's not considered a roof. So be sleeping under it, would be okay. But if something like a bed is made to, when you sleep on top of the bed, but the Gemara says elsewhere, you put your shoes under the bed. So you still use the area under the bed, and therefore maybe there will be more of an issue. Okay. But that's all the Mishnah here and the Mishnah earlier. Next, Mechlavashi does it Rabbi Yehuda. But 1 second. Now we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda? So, what's our first Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said? We used to sleep under the bed in front of the Zakenim, and the Zakenim didn't tell us anything. So, what's the stira? The Havamina here is, as the Mefarshim explained, Michlav Hashem Rabbi Yehuda, Taman, over there, elsewhere, who Omer HaMaisa Kodim LaTalmud. What's more important, Maisa Mitzvahs or Talmud Torah? What takes precedence? Right. So the elsewhere, the end of the first paragraph of Baba Kama talks about this, but elsewhere we have Maisa Kodim LaTalmud, that Maisa Mitzvahs obviously come before Talmud Torah. The Ko Amar Hachin, and here, what's here? The Havamina is that when Rabbi Yehuda says we used to sleep under the bed with the Zakenim, it was why? Because we wanted to hear the Divrei Torah that the Zakenim were talking about. So we'll go under the bed to hear it. What do you mean under the bed? So you're losing out on the Mitzvah of Sukkah. Aye, but it's to hear Torah. So, are you allowed to lose out on a Maisa HaMitzvah in order to hear Torah? So that's the question. Elsewhere we find that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Maisa HaMitzvah comes before Talmud Torah. But here you see Talmud Torah is coming before Mitzvahs, right? They're under the bed, which is not in the Sukkah, and to listen to Torah. So the Gemara answers, before we get back to that, the Gemara answers, Sava Rabbi Yehuda HaYoshein Tachas Amita Ki Yoshein Tachas HaSukkah. What does that mean? No, Rabbi Yehuda here is not as we thought. Look in the Pnei Moshe. Savar Rabbi Yehuda. Klomar. Lo kidaka salka daitach. Rabbi Yehuda lo palaka Tanakama. No, no, no. We're not saying that Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing with the Tanakama and saying, yeah, we slept under the sukkah and weren't in a sukkah, but we wanted to hear Torah. No. Rabbi Yehuda here is arguing on the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda held earlier, if you remember, we had a couple of shitas. Rabbi Yehuda held that a sukkah has to be a diras keva, or like a couple of the Tanayim. So that's Rabbi Yehuda saying, yeah, we were under the sukkah, but a bed is a diras, so to speak, arai. And that's why a diras arai cannot ruin a diras keva. Or what Rabbi Yehuda is saying here is that we were under the bed and we were still in the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda here is brought as arguing on the Tanakama that lo asi diras arai umevatel diras keva. Right? That is the issue. It's not because of the limit Torah being docha. So that's the answer to that stira in Rabbi Yehuda. There's a big discussion. Let's say, according to the Havamina, what was the Havamina? That they were allowed to be mevatel the mitzvah of sukkah. Is that an osik b'mitzvah, patam in a mitzvah example? They're osik b'talmud Torah, patam in the mitzvah of sukkah. But that's a problem, because we don't say osik b'mitzvah by talmud Torah to knock out mitzvah shebegufo. We usually don't say that. We don't say Osik B'Talmud Torah. This is, again, a big topic that we have discussed in the past. We don't say Osik B'Talmud Torah, Pater Min, Mitzvahs, Tfilin, Tfila, Sukkah. It's a mitzvah Shebegufo. So you don't take Osik B'Mitzvah by it. So especially, I would add, and the mitzvah of Sukkah is not just, I don't know, let's say, it's not just a mitzvah saseh, there's an Isser saseh. You can't eat outside the Sukkah. You can't sleep outside the Sukkah. It's not just a mitzvah, which would be a bittul. So that's a chiddush. The Mefarshim try to figure that out. Try to figure that out. If there's a mitzvah every second that I'm in the sukkah, you might say, okay, they're going to eat. They're eating in the sukkah. Now this is just for the shir. So when the Gemara realizes a havamina that you can be mevatel the mitzvah of sukkah, again, it could be. I mean, we know that there's a machlokas we've shown him whether the Rambam quotes that you should daven in the sukkah. You should have all the minyanim in the sukkah on sukkahs. So we don't do that. Why? Because you get a better kavana in shul. You get a better kavana in shul. So maybe that's why. Also by learning Torah. If somebody learns better in their house, in the base medrash, than in the sukkah, then You know, one can learn in the Beis Medrash. Maybe that's related to that. Okay, that's the first. So we get out of that stira. Next, says the Gemara, really? Now you really have a problem with Rabbi Yehuda. You're telling me that the being underneath the bed now is not a problem? But what about the earlier Mishnah that we had again? We learned earlier when we spoke about sukkah under a sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we spoke about if the upper sukkah doesn't have people living there, or we said maybe it means Eino ro'i for people to live there, k'sheira. Haim yeshir and bal yona tachton psula. We said if this above sukkah has residents in it, then the lower sukkah is possible. So here, under the bed, people are using on top of the bed. So how can under the bed be okay? Right? You're telling me, oh, it's okay, it's not going to ruin it. Says the Gemara, no, there's a big difference between under a bed in a sukkah and a sukkah on top of a sukkah. Amar Rav Yosa, Taman, over there by the bottom sukkah, Yesham Chalal Acher. There's a whole sukkah under you and the whole sukkah on top of you. There's two significant structures to the sukkah on top. That's why the bottom one will be ruined if the top one has diurin. Bram hacha ain kan chal acher, but here there is no other space. What does that mean? The carbon eidah here has three pshatim. He likes the first one. But here, look at the carbon eidah. Aval hacha besukkah ain kan chal acher. Da'ay b'mita sheinu gabo asara. The mita on the bottom doesn't have 10 tefachim high. So therefore, it is significant space. V'ein l'mata chawah hatzorach l'sukkah. Tachas sukkah. That's not called sukkah tachas sukkah. So therefore, that would make it worse if it's a sukkah tachas sukkah. It's just some space under the sukkah. And therefore, it would be better. He goes to other pshatim, but not for now. Says the Gemara, Michlo Pashitasi, Rabbi Gamliel. Next, we have a stira in Rabbi Gamliel. What did Rabbi Gamliel say in our Mishnah? That my tevi was under the bed. I didn't say anything. Titani, we learned. Titani, tevi, avdos, Rabbi Gamliel, hayanosin tefillin, lo micha, biyadah chachamim. Right here, it said that Tevi used to put on tefillin, and the rabbi didn't say anything. And here, it sounds like they made him be under the bed. Right? So, it's just, if you're part of a mitzvah, did they make him not do it? Did they make him do it? Answer, no. He could have sat in the sukkah, but it's shlo litchok es hachachamin. There wasn't enough room. So he kind of volunteered. He wanted to listen to the Torah, so he volunteered to go under the bed. But, again, it wasn't that they pushed him out. Okay, let him just sit outside the sukkah then. What does he have to be under the bed in the sukkah? He wanted to hear the Torah though. He wanted to hear the Torah. And that's why he did what he did. Big discussion. Again, this comes up by tefillin, right? The Ritva here asks, you know, what the Ritva here on Daf Chaf in Sukkah asks, why did the Gemara ask this as a stira? Why didn't the Gemara just say, you know, why would sukkah be any type of problem? Why would they, you know, not want him in the sukkah? Just ask that question. The Ritva says, Bishlama, by other mitzvahs that have a risk factor, I understand that if their people are putter, you shouldn't let them do it. Like tefillin. If somebody's putter from tefillin, we say don't put on tefillin because there's, so to speak, a risk factor, a downside. You have to keep a guf nucky and a mind nucky. But sukkah, what's the downside of sitting in the sukkah? The Ritva asks, why did the Gemara ask that question? That's what the Ritva deals with. Only by tefillin there's a downside. Fine, but by sukkah there's no downside. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't ask that question. The other issue that's brought up here, and that is about teaching a goy Torah. Eva Kenani is only semi-Jewish. And he was there listening and the rabbis didn't throw him out. What do you mean? You're not allowed to teach Torah to a goy. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, again, this is a big topic, and the Malami Lahoel also talks about this. Right? What if you have a non-Jew in a classroom? Are you allowed to teach? And he's sitting there, right? His father's Jewish and his mother's not Jewish. But Rav Moshe, you know, talks about this. He talks about the case where, Rahman al-Islam, all these cases. Let's say you have a family seder, and at the seder, Aunt Tilly is married to a guy and she brings her husband at the seder and you go on, just don't give him Shmuel Chamasra. He doesn't say that. But, you know, what's the halacha there? So Rav Moshe says, if your kavana is not dafka for the guy, it's for the Jews, and the guy happens to be overhearing, so then it's okay. Dafka kishakavanaso lomosram la'akam, aval kishakavanas halome divrei Torah, hu lalomdam ba'atzmo, ulomosram liyehudim hanimsoam sham lo nasar. That's not called being moser divrei Torah. This is Rav Moshe Yerodea base kuflame base. U ke'ein raya to this, he quotes our Gemara.
Hold on a second.
Ho-ho! Rav Moshe knew. Alma, kiva the kavanasam ha'ilalami ba'atzmam, lo nasru. Av she'yadu she'tevi she'u'eve nimsa sham. They knew Tevi was under the bed, but they still taught. Umistavar shen ba'akam. It's not a din in dafkan eve kenani. It has to do with any guy. I want to make a chilak. This is the Rav Moshe's shuva in 1963. Yud tes teves. Tavshin chav gimel. Okay, so that is, again, there's a lot more there. The Aruch Laner talks about it also with that Ritva, but we continue. Hasomech, a little bit more. Hasomech, sukasa lakaria, mita, ksheira. If somebody has, as we described the beds before, remember the beds, you have these big boards on the sides of the beds. Let's say you put schach on top of those bed boards. Is that a problem? Ksheira, no problem, says the Tanakhama. Rebuda omer, emeni yichol amob v'nei atzma, psula. Rebuda says, no good. No good on top of the bed boards. Why would it be a problem? Right? Remember we said, walls of a sukkah have no requirement. You can make the walls out of anything. So why would it be a problem? Today is machlokas. I'm Rabbi Imi mishem she'ein mimei hamita l'schach asar tzvachim. Maybe, says Rabbi Imi, maybe you measure, maybe the Rabbi Yehuda is measuring from the mattress to the sukkah, to the schach. And there isn't ten tzvachim there. That's why it's a problem of a sukkah. The Tanakhama measures from the floor to the schach. It's 10 tefachim. Maybe the problem is because Rabbi Yehuda holds that you only measure from the space that you're using, from the mattress of the schach, and there's no 10 tefachim. Okay, that sounds like, that's one problem. Amar Rabbi Ba, the action is in the second day. Amar Rabbi Ba, Misham Shein Ma'amidin al Gabi Dover Tomei. Wow. The sugya of Ma'amid. You're not allowed to have a schach made out of a Dover HaMakabal Tumah. Could you put the schach directly on a Dover HaMakabal Tumah? Right, that's where Rabbi Ba. Mishum Shein Amidin, just like the schach can't be davar makabel tuma, you can't be mamid. You can't support your schach with something on a mamid davar makabel tuma. Says the Gemara of Hatani Masad Anshe Yerushalayim Shein Mishalshim Midosayim Til Vanei Chalon Osayim. The Anshe Yerushalayim, who we know were tzaddikim, used to put their beds right next to their windows. Vayimasachin al gabeim used to put schach on them so they could get right in from their windows. Im Tamer Mishem Dein Mamidam al the gabe davar tuma. If you say that you're not allowed to do this. Hari Mamidin al Gabi Davertami, they did. So the Gemara says, we reject that. Havi less time in, must be the first reason's right. El time, mishum shein mei hamita lasach asor tfachim. It must be because you don't have 10 tfachim high. There is a major machlokas, Rashi in the Ran, and there are other Rishonim. Is Maimid, according to Behuda, a psul darais or a psul darabanan? If you look in Rashi at the beginning of the parak, Rashi and Davchav seems to say, Rashi says, if your mom and a davar makabal tuma, it's ki'ilu, your schach is makabal tuma. He has a lashon like that. Sounds like it's a din daraisa. But the Ran and many Rishonim say, no, it's a psul derabanan. If you're mamid on a davar makabel tuma, then you might come to use what you're mamid on as schach. And therefore Rishonim say, if there's something that you would never use for schach, like stone, then even Rabbi Yehuda would say it's mutter, because you're never going to come to use rocks for your schach. But this is the sugya of maimid. Me'ikar adin, we don't paskin maimid as a problem. We paskin like the Tanakhama, that maimid is mutter. You're allowed to. Lechadchila, we try to be machmer like the other shittas. But me'ikar adin, we paskin maimid as mutter. But we try lechadchila, and that is why in many sukkahs you have those old metal rod sukkah, then you put the schach on. So many people put 2x4s, the bigger wood, and put the schach on those. Right, so it's not directly on the metal, which is makabel tuma. So it's not direct. That's called maimid de maimid. That's a suggestion the Magen Avraham and others. So it's indirect. The Chazon Ish is famously known as saying maimid de maimid is maimid. Right, these 2x4s, they're also good schach. So what do you mean? It's indirect. It's also good schach. So he doesn't think that helps. The Chazon Ish, and people don't look in the Chazon Ish himself says maimid's a chumra, maker a din. It's not a problem. But if you're telling me you want to be choshish for that shita, I don't think maimid to maimid helps. But again, the minhag olam in many places is that it does help. But again, the whole thing is a chumra anyway. Me'ikar adin, if somebody walks it, we try to be machmir lachadchila. But maimid to maimid is a chumra agabi chumra. So that's what, for sure, it should be, lachora. The minhag olam is to be makel on that. But again, if somebody goes into a sukkah and they see this maimid totally, me'ikar adin, one still can eat there. Okay, we'll stop here.